If you will, please take your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. Genesis, chapter number 12. And we'll read three verses. From there, we'll go to Numbers, chapter number 13. And from there, we'll go to Joshua, chapter number 11. And we'll take these verses here just for a few moments and then speak to you. This is the 4th of July weekend. People are out of town. But I want you to know something. I'm proud to be an American.
Amen.
I love the red, white, and blue. And my position is if you don't love it, then get out of it.
Amen.
I still get chill bumps when I pledge allegiance to the flag. When I was a little boy, I used to hear old Kate Smith saying, "God bless America." I want you to know it just run chill bumps up and down my back, and still does. I love our country, and I don't like what's going on today in Washington, D.C. We got a bunch of nuts up there that don't know what they're doing, and I hope they're listening so I can know what I mean what I say. But I want you to look and think about this as we bring the message this morning, the July the 4th, the Independence Day. Now the Lord, in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Boy, that rings a bell, doesn't it? We had some people several hundred years ago that said, "Hey, we're going to get out of here. We're going to a land where we can worship God. And I will make of thee a great nation." And the Lord did. I mean, people right now are becoming the part of the nation. Anybody that's born again, you belong to the nation of Abraham's seed right here. He's my brother. "And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Then, if you will, please turn to the book of Numbers, chapter number 13, verse number 27. He said, "I want you to leave that land." Then he goes over into the book of Numbers, and we find here in verse number 27, let's look and see what the land looks like. "And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it." It was a land of milk and honey. I want you to know something. You say what you want. America is a land of milk and honey. It's a place where the grapes of Esco grow. I don't care what anybody says. Everything you can eat comes right here from America. They can talk about food in other countries, but we've got it right here. In fact, I ate a bunch of it Friday. Man, we had pie and ice cream. We had it all. And I'm sure most of you did, the 4th of July. And this land is a great land. We had all kinds of vegetables. We had all kinds of meats. We have all kinds of desserts. This land, nothing like the United States of America. You go to any country you want to, and I've been to about 70 of them, and you can go to them and you come back to America, and I want you to know something, you love America, and the food is better here than any place I've ever been. I'll never forget talking to Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, I was down in Bermuda. I don't believe I've told this here before. If I have, any of you just raise your hand and I'll skip it. But anyway, I was down in the Bahamas, and he was training for his last fight with Burbank, and got to talking to him. Being from Louisville, I'm from Louisville, right outside of Louisville, we began to talk. And as we talked, I found out that he had one time made a profession of faith in the Baptist church when he was a youngster. And of course, he'd become a Muslim, he said later on, but he did tell me that. I made him admit to me that he had walked down the aisle, confessed Christ as his Savior as a young lad in a Baptist church in Louisville, Kentucky. But I'll never forget, he told me something. I told him this. I said, "You know, I used to pay big money to go to these big places where they would have his fights with Frazier and all of them. I said, I would pay big money to go watch you get your head knocked off." And he looked at me and laughed. He said, that was just show. And I realized that. But he was very, very polite, very nice. But he made a statement I'll never forget. He said, "Scotty," he said, "I've been all over the world, all over the world." He said, "But when I get off of the plane into America, I want to get on my knees and kiss the ground." I thought, my, that wasn't what I'd been seeing on TV all these years. What I thought he did was didn't like America, but come to find out, he did like America and was putting on a big show. Now listen to me, America is the greatest country there's ever been. I don't care what anybody says, and I didn't have to be proud to be an American when my husband became president either. I've been proud to be an American ever since I was a little boy. Amen. All right, but I want you to know something. In 11:23, in the book of Joshua, chapter number 11, and verse number 23, it says, "So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions of their tribes, and the land rested from war." I want you to know something. In 1610, there was a little ship that was built in England. It was about approximately 90 foot long. It left Plymouth, England in 1620 with 102 people on board. It took 66 days for it to go across the Atlantic Ocean, and then it landed at Cape Cod, and many people perished on the way. It was called the Mayflower. You could take the Mayflower, put it on the deck of the Queen Elizabeth, and not disturb a thing. It was that small. But yet 102 people boarded that and came to the United States of America. And friend of mine, I want you to know from that, here we are today. Praise God for these people that would venture out. And Roy Babson said they came to America. And he said the reason they came to America was they was looking for God and not gold. Now, folks, I want you to know something. You look for gold and you'll perish in your gold. We must look for God. And we find out that later on, here on Friday, we celebrated the 4th of July. And 238 years ago, the Continental Congress passed this document called the Declaration of Independence in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It guaranteed the citizens of America equality. Based on the fact that God had endowed upon our nation, of the fact that God had been, he had given us certain rights. Now those rights were this: life, liberty, and happiness. And every person is supposed to get those things. Life, liberty, and happiness. No one is supposed to take them away from us. Friday was a day of picnics. Friday was a day of hamburgers and hot dogs. Friday was a day in which families got together. And we praised God as we celebrated the 238th birthday of the United States of America. But I want you to know something, friend. Our founding fathers must have read the Bible as they formed this document. And the reason I say that, you can find the words creator in it. Now, creator, who is our creator? God Almighty. He's the one. And we find that word in the Declaration of Independence. But not only that, life. Where did they get that word? I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Liberty, liberty. Where did he get that word? Out of the word of God. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Where did our forefathers find the word happiness? I've come that ye might have joy, and that your joy might be full. I want you to know something. This country was based on the fact that God was our creator. He was our liberator. He was our redeemer. He was our savior. And the documents that our forefathers gave testified to that. Oh, listen to me. We've talked about building a nation. Now let's talk about building a church. I want you to know something. We speak of building a church, and I think about our church. I think about the one that I pastored for years over in Tampa, and I remember going there. I remember as a young preacher going there. All it was one building, no paint. Had been standing there for 3 years with no paint. The downstairs was finished. There was no partitions or anything upstairs. It had been that way, been sitting that way for quite some time. I had preachers that would come by, and they'd say, "Listen, if God calls me to pastor a church, I sure wouldn't want to pastor that one." But you know something? When they called me as the pastor there, I saw something different. I looked at it and I thought, my, boy, I can see buildings being built. I can see buses being bused. I can see people getting saved. And God did. I mean, we went there and God did it. I've talked to your pastor and my pastor, Brother Carter. We've talked about how he came to Haines City. And he had talked about the little building that they started in over here with just 35 or 40 people in it. And I've heard him talk about it. And I thought to myself, sounds like me. He and I started pastoring about the same time. And I'm sure that there were preachers that went by and maybe told him the same thing. Brother Carter, if God ever called me to a church, I would want to pastor that one right there. But wait a minute, Brother Carter saw something different. He saw something different. He saw a great church. He saw a great bunch of people. He saw a great college going up. He saw a great camp out here. He saw things that other preachers did not see. You see, God gave him a vision, and look what we've got today. We've got a great church. And I want you to know something. We've got a great preacher. I had lunch with the pastor here not long ago, just a few days ago. And I said, Brother Carter, I said, bless God, the Lord is blessing you today just like he did when you was a young man. He's preaching just as good as he ever preached. He's got just as much fiber about him as he's ever had, just as much enthusiasm. And even though we're a little older, praise God, brother, we're going to keep at it until the Lord takes us home. Hey, and Brother Carter is that kind of a man, and I praise the Lord for it. But you know something? I've told folks all over America. I preach all over America. I go from one place to other. I'm sure you do, BJ. You've been all over America in the last few days. But I tell people everywhere I go, Landmark Baptist Church is one of the biggest miracles of the generation that we know that there's ever been. I can remember as a young lad starting over there, when you said Haines City, I would have to ask you, where's Haines City? I mean, it was a spot in the wall. Am I right? Can you help me out? I don't remember being here as a young man. What, am I right? Did you blink your eyes when you threw Haines City? But you know something? Wait a minute. God's blessed, hadn't he? God's blessed and built this church. What a fantastic church this is in Haines City, Florida. I mean, most people have never heard of Haines City. They heard about it now. I had a preacher come here, and he was a camp meeting preacher, and he put his arms around me, and he said, Scotty, he said, this place don't need to be named Haines City. It needs to be named Carterville. I thought to myself, man, he's sure right. Brother, our pastor sure did a great job. But I want you to know something. Let's look at the model for building a church. You'll find it in Acts chapter 2, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but for time's sake, in Acts chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 42, you'll find different things there that gives the model of how a church should be built. Number one, right doctrine. Right doctrine. We've got it here. We got a preacher that stands up here and he gives it to us right. Thank God for our brother Carter. Thank God for a man that'll take the word of God and say, I believe it from cover to cover. And I'm going to teach it from cover to cover. I don't care if it's if it's not politically correct or whatever it is. I'm still going to preach it. I'm going to call a sodomite a sodomy. I'm going to do it. I don't care what kind of laws they pass. I'm still going to do it. Even on the radio, he does it. Now, I won't do it, but he does. We're not on radio, are we? I believe we are. I believe he told me one time, I started to turn around and started to say something. I said, are we on the radio? He said. But anyway, listen to me. This old political correct stuff is a bunch of nonsense. Brother, listen, Jesus said, brother, I want the word of God says, brother, I've come that you might have joy. And that your joy might, hey, listen, I've come to set you free. And we're free today. And brother, we're going to stand and be free until the Lord Jesus comes back. Oh, to the model is not only, it's not only right doctrine, it's fellowship. Fellowship. You ought to be able to come to the house of God and shake each other's hand. You ought to love each other. Ought to care about each other. Fellowship. Having fellowship. Then prayer. Prayer. I want you to know something. Prayer is the one that the thing that moves the arm of God. Oh, listen to me. Talk about prayer. I believe you was talking about prayer. Have I told that story here? You know it's a good story? Okay. When I first went to Good Shepherd Baptist Church, wanted to start a bus ministry. And we began to pray that God would give us buses. We had no money. Had no money, just like Landmark was when it started. And we had nothing. And we prayed. Finally, we'd saved up a little money. And I heard that the city had some buses. They had some buses for sale. So I called down there. And they said, yes, we've got some buses for sale. And they're $1,200 a piece. I said, well, we'd like to have two of them. And so I talked to the vice president of a bus company out in Denver, Colorado, that owned all the city buses. And he said, well, go down and pick out two of them. So I went down and picked out two. Never forget it. I walked down there and I knew the man that was in charge of all the transportation in Hillsborough County. And he was there. I looked at him and I said, well, listen, the vice president of the company told me to come down and pick out two of the best buses you've got. He had a whole fleet of them there. And he said, pick out the two best buses you, he told me to pick out the two best ones you got. I said, get your mechanic and let him show me the two best ones. And so we got the mechanic out there and got the two best ones. And so we drove them off, had a couple of guys with me and drove them off to the church. And we got down, we filled those buses up, filled them up. And when we filled them up, we had a big day. And when we filled them up, we got out and looked, and I called out to Denver. I said, is Mr. the vice president, I forget his name. And they said, he's not here. I said, well, who's in charge of all these buses over here? And they told me. I said, well, let me speak to him. They said, he's not here. I said, well, who's in charge of him? They said, the president of the company, Mr. Pratt. I said, Mr. Pratt? I said, the president of the company, I said, that's the fellow I wanted to talk to. I said, let me talk to him. They said, okay, and they gave me the phone. He called me, and he picked up the phone. I said, Mr. Pratt, I'm Scotty Drake. I said, live here in Tampa. I said, just bought two of your buses. I said, you've got a whole fleet up and down there for sale. And I said, we've filled up those two buses. We need some more. And I said, but we don't have any money. And he said, well, I said, you can take those buses, and you can give us a bus where we can go out and pick up more boys and girls and bring them to church, keep them out of trouble. And I said, you can write that off. He said, I'll call you back in a few minutes. He did, he called me back. And he said, now preacher, he said, how many buses did you say you needed? I said, what? I said, not. I said, Mr. Pratt, we really need three buses. And he said, okay. He said, go down and pick out three buses. We went down, my wife here, Walter, you verify this, and went down, picked up three buses, went them down. And I went and told the man I'd known there who was ahead of the buses there. And I said, Mr. Pratt, the president of the company, told me to come down and get three more buses. And I said, get your mechanic out here. I want the three best ones you've got. And he got out there and he got three. I had three fellows with me. I said, man, get in them, get out of here before they change their mind. And he took off down the interstate. They got going down the interstate. And then, boy, we had a big day. Had a big promotional day, Matt. And all the buses were full. All the buses were full. They came in, and we had them hanging out the windows as they would come. We were taking pictures. I sat down, took all those pictures, put them in an envelope, sent them to Mr. Pratt. And I put a note in there. Mr. Pratt, we filled up those five buses. We need five more. And I waited and waited and waited and waited. And lo and behold, Matt, honest to goodness, several weeks went by. And he said, I just got back from Europe. Just got back from Europe. And he said, listen, I saw you. He said, it's just great what you're doing with those boys and girls. He said, you go down and get five more buses. I went down, got five more buses. And we got those five. I had five guys with me. I said, get in them, get gone. Don't want them to change their mind. And down the interstate, we went with those five buses. And then we went on and on and on. And soon we had filled up those buses. And we got them filled up, had a big day, had a big promotional day. And we brought in all five of those buses, packed out, and we were taking pictures again. And I shook, put them in an envelope and waited till they got out there. I thought about two or three days. And then I called him up. I said, Mr. Pratt. He said, yes, sir. He said, here's the first thing he said. I'll never forget it. He said, preacher, you'd be proud of me. I went to church Easter Sunday. I said, I'm proud of you, sir. I'm proud of you. I said, but Mr. Pratt, have you seen those pictures? He said, yes. He says, it's marvelous. Marvelous what you're doing. And I said, I need five more. He said, go on down and get them. I went down, took five people with me, went down to the bus garage, and so help me, Brother Perkins, went down there. And the fellow down there that I'd known, I knew him when I used to work with the state, And he looked at me, and he looked at me, he said, Scotty, what do you have on those people out there? He said, we never got a thing free from them. I said, well, he and I have just become big buddies. And we picked up those five, took off, and I want you to know it became, listen to me, it became the sixth largest bus ministry in America at that particular time. Now listen to me, prayer. It wasn't Scotty Drake, it's prayer. It's people, it's men and women on their knees. And you know what'll make this church right here go? Listen to me, I believe the best days are ahead of Landmark Baptist Church. I believe it's ahead of us. But it'll take men and women on their knees praying and asking God to do something for us. Asking God to put the power of God on our pastor. We thank God for a man that's got power in his life. Oh, listen to me, fair. Then another thing that you'll find in those verses are fear. That's a problem we've got today. We don't fear God. I want you to know something. We've got empty seats today because people don't fear God. They're out of church. You get the fear of God in you, you'll be in church. But I want you to know something. You better have the fear of God because he's coming again. And the Bible says you're going to give an account of yourself unto God. Just like tonight, we ought to have as big a crowd as we had this morning. Amen. Pastor will be back. He ought to be able to come in here, and he ought to see this and many more. We ought to be here. Welcome our pastor back. Oh, fear, but wonder. Wonder and signs, the Bible says. Hey, we need things going. Praise God for the big day you have on anniversary day out here. Is that, I believe that's anniversary day. Thousands of people, thousands of boys and girls hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, there could be signs and wonders, and there has been at this church. You stop and think about the signs and wonders that God has given this church. I mean, the college buildings down there, the chapel buildings down there, this big church, big auditorium here. God has given this church, he's done many great things here. Then it says praising God, he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy. And then the next thing it says, one accord. Yes. Now, if you'll read those verses, you'll find out after one accord comes these words. And daily people were added unto the church as such should be saved. Hey. My friend, let me tell you something. When you go God's way, there's going to be people that's in being born again. There's going to be people that are saved. There's going to be people that are trusting Christ as their personal Savior and on their way to heaven. I'm going to give you three things today that'll let you go home and think a little bit. I'll do it quickly. Number one, I want you to see the beauty of being united. There's an old saying, united we stand, divided we fall. You find that in the Word of God. You find it in the book of Luke. United we stand, one accord. I want you to know Joshua and Jericho is a thing of beauty. As they stood there, and as they blew their ram's horns and trumpets, and as they marched around the walls, we find that after the seventh day, on the seventh day, that the walls came tumbling down. What a thing of beauty. Three, think about it. Think about it. God at work. I want you to know God wants to do a work right here at Landmark Baptist Church. I think about Gideon and his 300. What a beautiful thing that is. I mean, listen, God says, hey, you got too many. Take 300. And he took 300. He marched around the Midianites. Or not, he didn't march around them, but they got out there and they had their pitchers and they blew their trumpets and ram's horns. And the Bible says the Midianites began to take their sword and kill each other and scatter each other. You want me to tell you who did it? God did it. Amen. God did it. My friend, let me tell you something. This church right here has not seen its best days yet. I believe Jesus Christ could come tonight. But on the other hand, friend of mine, it may be another year before he comes back. And if it is, friend of mine, I want you to know, I believe Landmark will be a witness all over the place. Oh, in one accord. In the Second World War, I stop and think about the Second World War. I was a little boy. My daddy bought me an army uniform. I can remember wearing that army uniform to church. The Second World War going on, gasoline rationed, sugar was rationed, but yet everyone was proud. Everyone stood together. Our soldier boys was overseas fighting. They were fighting the Germans. But I would see somebody in a uniform as a little boy and I would stand in awe. And I outgrew that uniform. The war was still going on and Daddy bought me, I believe it was a Marine uniform. And I would wear that to church as a little fella. And I was proud of it. And I want you to know I'm proud of my country to this day. I'm proud of it. Oh, listen to me. The Lord, I can remember those big old pictures of Uncle Sam. Many of you look like you're my age or almost anyway. But you remember, brother, those old big signs of Uncle Sam, and he pointing his finger. I want you. I want you. Let me tell you something. Today, the Lord looks down at Landmark Baptist Church, and he says, I want you. I want you. I want you. I want you, and I want you. God wants you. God wants each and every one of us. The Lord is speaking to our hearts today. He wants every one of us. Today, the Lord says, I want you. Now, the Church United is a thing of beauty. You know, I had something happen to me here a couple weeks ago. I was sitting where I always sitting, looked across, and I saw a young lady I'd never seen before. And I looked, and I thought, you know, that's got to be a visitor. So when we began to shake hands, I walked over and shook her hand. And I said, she told me her name. Her name was Cindy. I said, I can remember that. I got a daughter named Cindy. I said, where are you from? She said, New York. She said, we're moving here. And a week or so later, I saw her and her husband walk in. I met him. His name was Scott. I said, well, that's easy to remember, Scott. You know, I hadn't got Alzheimer's yet. And I said, I can remember that. But then on Thursday night, they were at visitation. They joined the church. They was out on Thursday night visitation. Scott gave up and gave a testimony. Hey, he said, my wife came to church and said she sat in there. And when she got home, she called me and said, honey, she said, I found the church. Stand up, Scott, Cindy. Amen. Thank you. Let me tell you something. Landmark Baptist Church needs to be a church that other people can come in and say, I like this place. I like this place. You want me to tell you who makes it that way? You and I make it that way. Amen. We're the ones that make this church what it is. It's not the walls. It's not the pews or the carpet. It's not that. Folks, I want you to know the church is you and me. We're the church. And when people walk in and they say, man, I like it here. This is the place I like. It ought to be because of you. You've made them feel that way. We've got a whole row of people back here. Went by their house, and I said, hey, Ander, I think you're from Morocco, you told me, and the rest are from Brazil. Amen. And they came to visit, live on the other side of 27. But listen to me. I hope and pray that they'll walk out that door and say, you know, I like this place. Amen. I like this place. My friend, let me tell you something. People ought to walk in that door, and you ought to make them feel welcome. Everybody that walks in that door, friend of mine, they've come for some reason. But a home, I want you to know the church that's united is a thing of beauty. But a home that's united is a thing of beauty. Isn't it sad that 60% of our marriages end up in a divorce? Isn't it sad that over 70% of the African-American babies are born out of wedlock? Isn't it sad that 59% of our Spanish-speaking babies are born out of wedlock? Isn't it sad that 29% of our Caucasian babies are born out of wedlock? How sad! How sad that 400,000 churches in the United States of America and 85% of them are on decline. 6,000 churches closed their doors last year. 3,500 of them were Baptist churches. 3,500 of them were Southern Baptist churches. And 1,500 were fundamental independent Baptist churches. How sad. Can you imagine? 100,000 preachers have quit the ministry in the last 10 years. Think of how many people went to hell because of that. Yeah. Think about it. Yeah. Think of how many people will go to hell from Haines City if Brother Carter quits preaching. Yeah. Yeah. He can't quit. I can't quit. You can't quit. You can't quit. You can't quit. Amen. We can't quit. Amen. People will die and go to hell if we quit. We can't do it. I want you to see the bitterness of being divided. There's the blessing, the beauty of being united and the bitterness of being divided. The Bible says in the book of Luke, house divided against itself falleth. Divided homes cause nothing but bitterness. You take Achan and Ai, we find out that the whole family died because of Achan's sin. A divided nation causes nothing but bitterness. You think back of the Civil War, more people killed in that war than any war we've ever had. Did you know there was over 1 million people that's injured or killed in the Civil War? Over 600,000 of the Northern and over 400,000 of the Southerners were wounded or killed in the Civil War. Brothers were fighting against brothers. Brothers were fighting against their own daddies. How tragic. How tragic. I think of Vietnam. We won every battle in Vietnam there was to be fought, but we lost the war. And you want me to tell you why? Because we had a divided country. How sad, divided nations will be. We live in a sad day. It's like the old Chinese proverb says, we got people in Washington, D.C. that does a lot of talky, 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 and they don't do much walkie, walkie, walkie. Brother, listen to me. Give us some people that'll stand up for the red, white, and blue. Divided churches causes nothing but bitterness. Think of all the preachers that have quit. Think of all the churches that have closed their doors. Think of all the people that have died and gone to hell because people have quit. God help us. God help every person here at Landmark Baptist Church to say, I will not quit. I'm going to stand behind my preacher. I'm going to stand behind my church. I'm going to stand behind my college. I'm going to stand, brother. I'm going to stand. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to stand. Amen. Then we see the blessings of God's way. In Psalms chapter 133, verse 7, it says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Unity puts the hand of God on us. Listen, folks, I want you to know something. When we're unified, the power of God's going to fall. When this church comes together and when we're unified, we come and say we're going to be together. I want you to know our pastor can stand up here and he can quote, Mary had a little lamb, people will get saved. Standing together. Praying together. Unity. Unity puts love in our hearts for each other. We ought to love each other. Love each other. My friend, let me tell you what makes a soul winning station out of this church is unity. Amen. You want people to get saved? All we have to do is hold our hands together and sing and mean it with all of our heart. Blessed be the tie that binds. Amen. That's all we have to do. I want you to know something. This world needs Landmark Baptist Church. What a shame. Some of you not keeping up your faith promise. But this world needs us. Not only that, friend of mine, this state needs us. Not only that, friend of mine, this city needs this church. Think what this city would be like without Landmark Baptist Church. I want you to know something. This church right here has put its hand on almost every home in Haines City. Think what it would be without it. God help us. God help us to see that our city needs this church. But not only that, our homes need this church. Amen. Our homes need it. Thank God for his love. In 1951, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were tried for taking the atom bomb secrets and sending them to the Russians, selling them to the Russians. They stood before Judge Kaufman. And the lawyer that represented Julius and Ethel said this. They said, sir, all we ask for is justice. Judge Kaufman looked at him and he said this. He said, you receive justice. He said, what you really mean is you want mercy. And this court can't give you mercy. And they were executed in 1953. In the electric chair. But I want you to know something. The courts can't give us mercy. But thank God I know somebody that can. Amen. The Lord God Almighty can give us mercy. Amen. If we got what we deserved, we'd all go to hell. Right. But praise God for his wonderful mercy. Yes. And he's not given us what we deserve. He's given us and he's promised us a home in heaven. the last thing that I would say today to you, are you saved? I picked up something that I'd found. Loved ones will weep over my silent face. Dear ones will clasp me in hand in sad embrace. Shadows and darkness will fill the place 5 minutes after I die. Faces that sorrow I will not see. Voices that murmur will not reach me. But where, oh where, will my soul be 5 minutes after I die? Quickly the years of my life have flown, gathering treasures I thought my own. There I must reap the seeds I have sown 5 minutes after I die. Naught to repair, the good luck, the good that I lack, fixed to the goal of my chosen track. No room to repent, no turning back 5 minutes after I die. Now I can stifle conviction stirred. Now I can silence the voice off heard. Then the fulfillment of God's sure word 5 minutes after I die. Mated forever with my chosen throng, long is eternity, oh so long. Then woe is me if my soul be wrong 5 minutes after I die. Mated forever with my chosen throng, long is eternity, oh so long. Then woe is me if my soul be wrong 5 minutes after I die. Oh, what a fool, hard the word but true, passing the Savior with death in view, doing a deed I can never undo 5 minutes after I die. Thanks to the Lord Jesus for pardon free. He paid my debt on Calvary's tree. Heaven's gates will enfold even me 5 minutes after I die. Oh, marvelous grace that has rescued me. Oh, joyous moment when Jesus I see. Oh, happy day with him I'll be 5 minutes after I die. God help you to choose your eternal state. Depends on your choice. You dare not wait. You must choose now.